Each week I'm giving you an assignment and you're to be working on and putting into practice the little cards that we have inserted into your bulletin. Last week it was to be merciful. How many of you had an opportunity to be merciful last week? In more than just your driving, right? I'm a little afraid of what people must think about my driving after the last 2 weeks of talking about that, so I promise not to say anything about it today. this week we're going to be working on to be kind, and I think that's probably one of the easiest ones of those that we've been talking about, because I think that can just happen so easily on a regular basis. And hopefully there'll be ways that you'll be thinking, how can I, over the top, how can I specifically put this into practice? Because that's the message that we're encouraging you. On the back of it, we encourage you just to write out like opportunities that you had to do that and help share it either on social media or also with us on our banner that is out in the hallway. You can just kind of tape it up there. And that gives us an opportunity for others to be able to see how you've been putting it into practice. I encourage you to put this someplace where you're going to see it on a regular basis. You might want to, there's some extra ones that we always have at the hub. You might want to take more than one. So you'll have one maybe in your car or maybe in a visible place where you can go, oh yeah, I got to consciously think. Because I just think we get so busy in our normal days. We kind of get so involved in everything that we lose focus of what's really important. And so hopefully you'll be challenged to be thinking about some new ways to make sure that that is going to be happening this week in your life. I don't really have power here, so if you could advance the slide, that would be great. There you go. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. And so the assignment this week is to be kind. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Teach us this morning exactly what you want us to understand and put into practice in our own lives. We just give you thanks for all you do in Christ's name. Amen. First of all, it's understood that God's kindness to us is first what comes. When we start to understand that, that really helps everything else make much more sense. Because it's God who initiates these qualities that we're talking about each week. You know, we love because he first loved us. We show kindness because he showed us kindness. And so as we try to put all of those things into practice, it's always a learning process of how we can understand how to do that and what it looks like. Scripture tells us he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. So God's kindness is constantly being showered upon us. He's not going to run out. He's rich in it. And so when we see that, it helps us to be able to understand what is really needed in this world. And the farther our world gets from having a God consciousness, we're really becoming a much more secular country. And the more that that happens, the less you'll see the evidences of the qualities of kindness and love and all the virtues that are of Christ. And that's why it becomes all the more important for us to be aware of that. Now, kindness comes from the root word of kin and refers to the importance of treating each other with courtesy or noble deeds as a family member or a brother. So the kinship that we share is all a part of that kindness that also should be there. And so, you know, when we are in a relationship, it changes how we see things so much. You know, if you know who it is or you have a relationship, it softens your heart and makes it much more able to be able to respond. And so when we show kindness, it's a matter of processing through, thinking through, and trying to make sure we're showing Christ to those that are around us. Sometimes it's a little bit difficult or a little bit challenging when we first come to those places and times. And that's why, you know, we have to keep moving past that and do what God would have us to do. I can remember I was a part of the Milton Rotary for some time, and we used to do a Christmas party at Stillings Grove State Center. And we were with the most profoundly retarded that were there. In the work that we would do, they weren't even able to feed themselves. And so we would go and we would put kind of an apron around their neck and then feed them the ice cream and the cake. And, you know, when you'd kind of put it in their mouth, their tongue would come out. They couldn't even keep their tongue in. And I can remember the first time I did it. I just thought, oh, I don't think I can do this. And it was just really hard. But, you know, the more I did it, the more comfortable I just became. And I just saw them as you and me, as anyone who needs love and needs kindness and needs to be shown that. And you kind of work through all those kinds of feelings and things that are apart. And that's what giving kindness, giving care, supporting, reaching out, that's what it's all about. And that's what makes a difference. And God calls us to make sure. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. God's kindness gives us an example of the most compelling way to reach those in sin. I love this particular verse. I can remember when it first stood out to me, because I don't remember thinking that it was God's kindness that would bring them to salvation. I always guess I thought it was fear. I didn't want to go to hell. And that's what, you know, made me want to respond. But fear is only a temporary motivator. Kindness is a long term. That goes much longer. See, when the fear wears off, then what? He says, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? And so God's kindness is what drew us and draws us to him. It's what brings us into that relationship and that continual way he reaches out. And so we realize his kindness to us means I need to demonstrate that kindness. God's kindness is not depending on the actions of man. So it's not depending on how you act, but it's consistently there. And when we look at that, he says this, love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you'll truly be acting as children of the Most High. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. So God's kindness is not dependent on man's actions. Man can be unthankful and unkind and wicked, but God continues to demonstrate his kindness. And that's why it's such an important challenge for all of us. So we aren't just being kind to those who are kind to us, but we're willing to be kind no matter what. And that's what God calls us. And to those that would be even unthankful, or wicked, that's the culture we're living in. God's kindness is always balanced. Now, this is really hard for us, this balance piece, because we're not really sure, like, how much and whatever. And how do we balance kindness and sternness? And how do we balance love and justice? You know, like, there's that whole thing. Now, God is perfect, so he has no problem with this. But for us, it's like, yeah, it's a challenge. So we must balance our kindness, too, but guard against selfishness. And so the scripture says, consider, therefore, the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness, otherwise you will also be cut off. So there's a balance here that God is able to maintain. And just like last week, somebody asked me, how do you know when you're supposed to show mercy and when you're supposed to have tough love, and where is the balance in all of this? And how many times do you show mercy? You know, those are things that are just like, the closer you get to God's heart, the more you know what you're supposed to do. I can't really tell you an absolute, here's the direction, here's the number of times, here's how often you should be kind, here's how often you should show mercy. But I can tell you, the closer you get to God's heart, the more you can be able to balance that and understand what you're supposed to do. And so I would say that this is the same thing. Trust God to work in your spirit to help you discern what is it I need to do? How do I need to respond? And he will give you a peace in your heart to know how to balance that. Now, God equips us with kindness. So that means every one of us, you have the ability to be kind because God has given you that. But it's only going to be happening if you're turning on the power to be able to work through your life. And so, you have power coming into your house, but you could sit in the dark forever unless you flip the switch. You brought the power into you personally. That's the same. God's power is already there. The scripture says, may he equip you with all you need, for doing his will. So he's given you everything you need to do his will. May he produce in you through the power of Jesus Christ every good thing that is pleasing to him and all glory to him forever and ever. Amen. So we see that, excuse me. We see that the fact that he has equipped us with all that we need, he's equipped us with his power to accomplish his will. It's just a matter of what are you doing with it. He's equipped you with kindness, so then you put it into practice, you start showing it to those in your world. Now, he gives it to us through by the fruit of the Spirit that lives within us. So when you were born again, you gave your life to Christ, God gave you his Holy Spirit that lives in you. His Holy Spirit, when he came to live in you, he brought the fruit of the Spirit. So the evidence of God in you is the fruit of the Spirit. That is a biblical basis that you can be able to be confident of. So the evidence of God in you is the fruit of the Spirit. So you will see there should be a change in who you were before you came to Christ and who you are now. And that change is that fruit of the Spirit that is evidenced in you. Now, Scripture says it this, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Also, verse 23 are both of those that relate to this. And so, here's how I like to describe it, and here's how I like to think about it. I'm sure that some of you know people who are not Christians, who are more loving than some of the Christians that you know, right? You can like nod your head or something, like so I can see, oh yeah, okay, good, or just say yes. That's good, thank you. That helps. So why is that? You say, like, if God put his Spirit in us and the fruit of the Spirit is in us, and one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit is love, why would we have some people who are Christians not as loving as people who are not Christians? Like, because you go, like, so maybe they don't have that? Or, like, but then you talk to them and they do. I like to think of it this way. If I could draw a bar graph that would have each of these areas, love, joy, peace, patience, like each of these bar graphs, and they could kind of go across, and you would have so much of this in each of these categories naturally. Like some people just seem to be more naturally loving, so their category is a little higher in this, where others wouldn't be, so theirs would be a little lower. So if you went across like this, this bar graph would go like this, according to, I mean, because some people seem to be more patient. It's their nature or their personality or maybe their environment, but they seem to be more patient than others, and you would see certain levels. Then, here's how I see it. When the Holy Spirit is poured in, those levels increase in every one of them, but they don't even out. They still show when you get more, they would be more loving or more patient than they were before, but it still puts them on the edge above maybe someone else. And so I see this as we're all kind of in a process. We're all kind of on a journey. But there's an importance of understanding that this should increase. All of these characteristics should increase in our lives when I give my heart to Christ and the Holy Spirit comes and lives in me. So mine may be different because we're all not going to look the same or respond the same or act the same. So mine may be different than someone else's, but I'm still going to see this increasing in my life. Now, God gives some a special gift of kindness that's supernaturally empowered. And so just like this, when Romans 12, he lists these spiritual gifts that are listed here. This is some of those. He said, if your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. And so these are spiritual gifts of this, which means they're supernaturally effective in their lives. And so if you have a spiritual gift of giving, we're all supposed to be giving. You know, that's what God calls us to. But there are some who have a spiritual gift as a giver. They see a need very quickly, faster than anyone else. And so if that's your gift, and that's why you can't be critical of others who don't see it, even though you do, you see it more quickly because that's part of your engineering, your how God has designed you. You see it, and you want to supply and meet that need right away. And so that's a supernatural gift of giving. Or a gift of kindness that is there. And so you'll see the need earlier. You'll respond to the need earlier. You'll do something. And so that's more part of that. And so all of us are to be kind, but there are some who have a spiritual gift of kindness. And so spiritual gift means that came after you came to Christ. And so it wasn't present, to the degree that it is before, but it now, after you come to Christ, is a spiritual gift. So God's Spirit works through it. Now, God commands us to kindness in our relationship. He commands us. Remember what we talked about? You can't command feeling, but you can command action. Like you could say, well, I don't really feel like being kind. Well, I didn't ask you if you feel like being kind. God tells you, you have to. So, or should I say, you get to, as we've talked about, and being thankful. So instead, be kind to each other. That's a command, be kind. And so when he's saying that, he's telling us it's not a matter of how you feel. It's not your feeling. You just do it. And so tender-hearted, forgiving at one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. You see, the model was already given to us in Jesus. Now, God commands us to put on kindness as we would a garment. So wouldn't it be great if we would think about all these things, like when we're putting on our clothes, that we would think of, I need to put on kindness today, because that's how he's called me to make sure I'm living it. He says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So I clothe myself with those. That means it's a conscious effort on your part. It's just not going to happen without you thinking about it. So you got to think about it to make sure you're putting on. I mean, you don't get to work or school or whatever and go, wow, I have clothes on. You don't do that. Well, I hope not. You consciously picked them out. Some pick them out better than others. You consciously pick them out, put them on, and so now you're ready. That's when Scripture says, clothe yourselves with these aspects. You're going to consciously make choices to put those on. Kindness is demonstrated by our actions. And so there's a great importance of making sure. I love this story, and I'll share it with you, what a difference a simple, small action actually made in changing a person's life. The simple acts can have impacts far beyond our wildest dreams. Take, for example, the story of this humble hotel clerk. In the city of Philadelphia, there was a little third-class hotel. Into it one night, there came two tired elderly people. They went to the night clerk, and the husband pleadingly said, "Mister, please don't tell us you don't have a room. My wife and I have been all over the city looking for a place to stay. We didn't know about the big conventions that are here, and the hotels at which we usually stay here are all full. We're dead tired, and it's after midnight. Please don't tell us you don't have a place where we can sleep." The clerk looked at them a long moment and then answered, "Well, I don't have a single room except my own. I work at night and sleep in the daytime. It's not as nice as the other rooms, but it's clean, and I'll be happy for you to be my guest for tonight." The wife said, "God bless you, young man." The next morning at the breakfast table, the couple sent the waiter to tell the night clerk they wanted to see him on very important business. The night clerk went in, recognized the two people, sat down at the table, and said he hoped they had had a good night's sleep. They thanked him most sincerely. Then the husband astounded the clerk with this statement, "You're too fine a hotel man to stay in a hotel like this. How would you like for me to build a big, beautiful, luxurious hotel in the city of New York and make you the general manager?" The clerk didn't know what to say. He thought there might be something wrong with their minds. And he finally stammered, it sounds wonderful." His guest then introduced himself. "I'm John Jacob Astor." So the Waldorf Astoria Hotel was built. 4 years later, the hotel was the largest in the world and boasted unprecedented standards of service. The night clerk became the best-known hotel man in the world, and a humble act of service led to this unforeseen act of grandeur. The point of the story is not that you will be rewarded for doing good deeds, but that simple deeds can produce larger results than we ever expect. Simple acts can show the love of God through our actions. One clerk chose to show a simple act of kindness to strangers, and by sharing his room with this tired couple, he touched them in ways he could not have foreseen. His simple act of kindness touched the fabric of this couple and greatly impacted how they looked at this young man. Acts of kindness can be contagious. So God shows his kindness by our daily provisions. And so God provides for us every day. And sometimes we just don't acknowledge that like we should. I remember taking this witnessing course, and one of the things they told me in it was, as often as possible, try to work God into your conversations and see what the response is by those you're talking to. And if they're open, you may be surprised. You may get more opportunities. And so, like, just realizing, what a beautiful day. God has provided us with such, in his kindness, with such a beautiful day today. I mean, just like that, like you've kind of broken down a wall, you've kind of opened up. Sometimes people are responsive, sometimes they're not. If they're not, then we go fishing in a different pond. That one isn't ready. But if they are, you might be surprised how much God can open the door so you can continue. "Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He's shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven, crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." So his provision is kind to us in all that he has provided for us. We show our kindness by our extra efforts in our relationships with others. And so when we put forth the little extra that's going to show kindness to one another, what a difference that can make. Paul said it this way, "The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold." And so just kind of going out of your way, doing a little extra, what an impact it can have on those that are around us. The evidence of God's love within us is seen by what we show to the world around us. And so God's working in us, and he helps us to show it to our world around us. I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. God said this statement because he wanted us not to just be religious. He wanted us to show the love of Christ to the world that we're at. That's why we're all called not to just be religious. We're called to be kind, to let God's love shine through us so people can see there's a difference in our lives and a difference in our world. Kindness is contagious. When you start showing it and sharing it, it's amazing how different it can impact. You can change a whole culture of your school. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie Wonder. How many did get to see it? A few. It's powerful. It's awesome. If that's a movie I could certainly embrace to say you should go see it. It's just, I don't even think there's a swear word in it. I was just so impressed by it. But it's how kindness is really shown and the difference that it makes. It's a great family movie. I would just say that it's so contagious. You can change a culture of a school. You can change a culture of a family, of a home, just starting to demonstrate that kind of kindness. Kindness seems ordinary, but is actually remarkable and inspiring. Kindness can change the lives around us. You don't know what people have lived to and what people have experienced. I don't know, Tasha, I read her prayer request to you, but to have to live in 154 different homes in 36 states and to finally be adopted, I think that's a wonderful thing. When I look at something like that, I think the kind of kindness that needs to be shown to the lives of those around us, because people may be struggling greatly, and just your simple act of kindness perks up a person and makes them have hope and feeling for the world. Kindness can impact those in our world as we have no idea what is happening in their lives around us. And kindness is tender concern for others. It has nothing to do with weakness or lack of conviction, but is the genuine desire of a believer to treat others gently as the Lord treats him. Kindness is more than compassion. The very nature of exhibiting kindness to another person makes that person have a sense of worth and usefulness. By exhibiting kindness to another person, we are affirming their worth as a person. We're telling them that they are important enough for us to be inconvenienced. I'm sorry, this power is gone there. Okay. inconvenienced by them or the fact that we would give them special attention is closely related to being gentle. William Barclay said this, and I really think this is great. More people have been brought into the church by kindness of real Christian love than by all the theological arguments in the world. That's such an important part. As we look at that, we say, we can all be kind. Like, maybe we can't know all the theology and have all the arguments, but that's not what wins people to Christ anyway. What really brings them is by the kind spirit that we would demonstrate to one another. I was looking for ways. You can find tons of these random acts of kindness ideas that you can use for this week. But I was looking for ways, and I came across this on YouTube for kindness. It's a young girl who's 20. On her birthday, she chooses to demonstrate kindness to her world. Instead of getting gifts, she wants to give kindness. You'll notice the difference because she's in England and in London, and you hear a little bit of that in the language and the verbiage that's used.
So you did.
Just some ideas. This week, you can take that. If you took even some of those extra cards to be kind, you might want to just leave them with a kind act that you do. We have those out there also. Let me pray for you that God will equip you with all that you need. Father, we're your servants. You have shown kindness to us and brought us to relationship with you. May we show kindness to our world that they would see Jesus in us. In Christ's name, amen. 'Tis the season to be kind.